episode of Indie Comic Spotlight and Femon Creatives Crossover, the show where we do a deep dive into an ongoing series of graphic novel from a company other than the big two, and where we talk to awesome women who make awesome creative things. And I am here, Tony Farina, host of Indie Comic Spotlight, with the creator, producer, the mega mind of the Femon Collective, Rhea Kerrigan.
Ooh, hello. How are you? I'm good, thank you.
Yes, and who's our guest once again? Misako Ron!
Yay! Hello! Konnichiwa! Thank you!
Oh my god, so good. We're super excited, and Rhea is officially jealous because Misako and I got to hang out in real life a few months ago, IRL.
Yeah, that's right!
We're pals now, Misako and I are friends, and she's awesome. And yes, she came, for those of you who don't know, and this is why it's going to be relevant to what we're about to discuss. A few months ago, Misako came down to Florida to do a presentation to the middle school and the high school. She talked about her life in Japan and how awesome it was, and what a big experience it was to come to America, and why studying mattered and art matters. And then for 30 students on one day and 30 students on their day, she gave them an hour of her time and taught them how to draw manga art. It was
so cool.
Amazing. Oh my God. It was the most amazing thing. And then what she tells us is, oh, well, for the people who can't come to this, what if I created a whole freaking book that just did this?
That's right.
And that's what we're here to talk about. So this is book one of two, right? So tell us, friend, first, how are you?
I'm amazing. Thank you so much. Finally, spring came to Wisconsin. It's been snowy, long winter. Yeah. I need a sun.
Yeah. Sucky.
So finally, I'm happy. What about you, Rhea? Good?
Good. Yeah, I mean, when you, just a brief detail, when you messaged the other day and said it was snowing, it took me a real moment to realize where you were. Because for me, I was like, snow, where are you? Because I was like, are you in New York? I'm sure you would have heard it snowing in New York. And then I remembered our last discussion and I was like, okay, if there's one thing I know about Wisconsin weather, it is snow.
Yes. So I was super, like, yeah. Super snow. Yeah. We are close to Canada, so we are up in the north.
Yeah. And you, Rhea, you don't get much where you are. Your island doesn't snow very often. Yeah.
No. All the British literature lies. It doesn't snow here ever, really. Like, white Christmases aren't really a thing. So I'm also jealous because snow isn't my favorite weather. Anyway, we're not here to talk about my favorite.
We are. I mean, well, this is the kind of high quality podcasting you're about to get for the next 45 minutes to an hour. Rhea and I try, like, the first time Rhea and I were like just fangirling over Misako, and we still are because she's awesome, but now she's also our friend. She sends us stuff. Rhea, can you believe it? You get stuff in the mail sometimes.
It's
from Misako.
It's too exciting, which means it's amazing. So I've had the opportunity to start reading Bounce Back with my daughter. So yeah, we talked about No Such Thing as Perfect and how sort of like she was looking at pages, and I love it's the same thing. We're talking about the same thing. And I think I messaged you, didn't I, saying that she was like getting very upset that everybody was being so mean to Lilico. And I just love that, she's at the very early stages of reading, and it's with your art, she doesn't need the words. She can just look at the pictures and understand what's happening in the story. So it's just so special as well. Like, it's just really amazing. And I love that I can share that with her.
Right. Aw, thank you so much. It's funny, like, I mean, Bounce Back One was about more like, moving to a different country. I mean, moving to Brooklyn from Japan and starting over. And Bounce Back Two about more like real teenage girl, like we sing a lot everywhere because it's about perfectionism and really afraid of making mistakes. And I got a lot of emails, even my YouTube, Instagram, and all the social media, that a lot of kids say they're like, wow, when I was reading it, I got frustrated with Emma, and I realized she remind me of myself. And I cried so much. Yeah, everybody said, when Lexi, when they have to say goodbye, I cry so much. It's such a sad and so emotional. So it's just like, it just hit their heart. I'm just so happy that they felt it something.
But you're talking about real things, with Bounce Back. It's really interesting talking. So my daughter's 5, talking to her about it and how Lilico has moved somewhere new, and so explained Japan and then moved to America and the different countries and different cultures. And for her, that's so informative and that's so interesting. And she's that gets really angry. She's shouting like, and I'm paraphrasing and making her sound more intelligent than she is. She is five. But, you know, she's getting angry and being like, why are they being mean just because Lilico's different type of stuff, right? It's more like they're mean, you should like everybody. That's really what she's saying.
Right.
But, you know, it's, and I love that your stories are opening up those conversations because, you know, it is a little bit old for her. She is only five.
Right, yeah, that's true. Yeah, she's five.
As parents, we should be having these conversations. And because she can understand the emotions from the images, from your drawings, we can have those conversations.
I'm so happy. And thank you so much for sending us the drawing created. This purple hair, this girl.
Yes, yep. That she's her favorite. She's like her favorite. She talks about it all the time. Like, I think she thinks she's like in a cartoon or something because sometimes she'll be like, oh, can we look at the girl with purple hair? Yeah. And I'm like, so it's just a drawing. Yeah.
But obviously we need them. And Misako and I talked about that. Like, you obviously need, I mean, an animated series, the Bounce Back animated series.
Oh, God, can you imagine?
100%.
Please. I even think about the opening theme song all the time. Just like, what if it became an anime? You know, like opening theme is going to be super cute, maybe bubbly, but like go really like 180 degrees different, like more rock, you know?
I think you could, you know what? I could see it. The way you would do it is, do you remember, I don't know if you got, and again, this may be a very weird, uniquely American cartoon. When I was a kid, there was a cartoon called Gem and the Holograms. Do you remember that?
Gem, yeah, I heard about it.
Okay, yeah. So Gem, it starts off, it's like, woo, Gem, she's truly outrageous. And the whole thing. And then when you introduce the different characters, the songs change. And then when the Misfits come in, they're like villain punk rockers. And I was totally into them. When they come on, because they were totally like the Runaways, but they were, you know, like Joan Jett and the Runaways, they were like that. And you're like, love them. And... but the music would change. So I think even with the way you could do it is it starts bubbly, but then like as each new character is introduced to the opening theme, then they each get their own take on it. So you almost like do a postmodern jukebox version of the theme song where it's like a rock version and a country version and a hip hop version. I mean, obviously we're making this happen.
Right. Please, somebody up in there.
The universe needs to listen and give us the Bounce Back anime.
Please.
I mean, we would watch. I would watch. We know you've got fans.
We kind of watch.
100%.
I think there's a big audience for it.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Yeah, for sure. All the way. Well, so that's all good. So, but this is a good transition, though, to what all of that says. And in addition, by the way, let me just go back. Rhea and MJ are actually reading in a book that you signed to MJ.
Yes.
It's MJ's own autographed book signed by Misako. So look at the world. Is all connected.
You've joined a very special, she's got like some very special books signed by some authors and you've joined that. So
really? Thank you.
So some books by an author called Bethan Wolvin that she's got signed as well and some others. And so, yeah, it's a very special, they're very precious to her. And we have to be very careful with them and nobody else is allowed to look at them. And she's like already at like the proper like when you had comics with me, she's like wash your hands beforehand. There's like you, Bethan, Harry Wood Gay, Harriet Muncaster, four authors. You have to be very careful with all your
That's
books.
Amazing. I love that. That's good because she's understanding that books have value. So that because they do.
Yeah, I love that. That's so cute.
But so I just wanted to make sure we put the plug that how awesome Misako is that she signed the books for MJ and Rhea. So
absolutely.
So, but as you were talking about the emotions, what we have is how to draw manga with Misako. Now there's going to be two books, right? The pink one is
this Kwan is going to be more like a character, somewhat basic thing. Readers can just get, you know, all the various facial expressions and a body, stuff like that. And in June, it's going to be about how to draw kawaii manga fashion. So I focus on just the fashion, like school uniform. Of course, those, you know, the kids who are into drawing, they love those Japanese pop kawaii school uniforms. So I'm introducing that and also fantasy fashion, like princess, fairy, and also do a little bit more like goth, kind of cool fashion too.
Nice.
So it's really interesting.
It's going to be cool. Cute. And when you were doing the high school kids workshop, they wanted you to add a little bit of elf. you added a little bit that when you were doing the character design, they're like, let's make her elf. Well, the cool thing is, and so this goes back to what MJ was saying, the reason that MJ knows what's going on is because of the emotion. And when I'm looking through the book, you know how like when a little kid is in therapy, and I'm not trying to bring us down, but like when a little kid is in therapy, they'll like have the little faces. Sorry, I just laughed. She's like, of course this is what he's doing. You know, where it's like
point this is supposed to be joyful.
Sorry, point at the things of how you feel. But as I'm looking through the book, you have the eye expressions, and it is that. I mean,
exactly.
People, that when you get your hands on this book, and the links will be in the show notes, like manga eye expressions, like there's just crying and sad eyes, and you look at it, and it's just pictures of eyes on a screen, and I felt all the feels as I'm reading these pages. So, that's to me the first thing we need to talk about is like, and I know you've said. You've talked a little bit about working with the kids and whatever. So how did you decide what you want to show, what you didn't? Like, is this just what is the most popular to them? Were you trying for the, I mean, because obviously this is how to do it themselves. You're teaching them how to do it, but there's still something happening there. You also knew what to include, like you were saying with the fashion one. So like, how did you know what to include? How did you know it? Like, did your editor say like, that's too many eyes? Like, was there, you know, where were you at on that process?
So, you know, all the things sort of like expressions and inspirations sort of coming from my students because of my online manga students from Lam Manga with Misako, you know, my online school. I always ask them, hey, you know, what do you think of like, I'm making this new activity book. What do you want me to include? Like, do you want me to just show only positive one? But a lot like, let's say slightly older kids, more fourth grader to fifth graders. They want to draw more slightly complicated and different expressions. Because, you know, those, especially girls, the older they get, they're edgy and mature. You know what I mean? They're getting into that style too. So they ask me to show, like, everything's going to be step by step, like a sad expression to angry, a little bit of surprise, like complicated too. And funny thing is, I mean, there are so many how to draw books, right, out there. But I wanted to show at least 10 steps to draw just the one face. Because my students, I just learned from them. The younger kids, like middle school to elementary school, they like to just have one, two, just every little steps. So that's like each book. I mean, those books, maybe let's say only 80 pages in there. But it's pretty full, like really tons of little explanation for each expression and the face and the hair too. I really pay attention to it because that's what they told me. They demand me to do so. They're pretty strong will kids. Like, you have to like this. And the tons of, I mean, fantasy too. Fantasy character and human characters. And I ask them, okay, what about boys' character? Like, should I draw more boys? Because usually my readers, they tend to be, you know, they're kids who are into like those girly, bubbly stuff. So I ask, do you want to draw boys? Like, younger ones? Like, nah. Because it's complicated. Like, but the older one, they want to know how to draw like a basic thing, you know, like those spiky, cool hair, stuff like that. So I introduce those hair, stuff like that too. And of course, facial expressions slightly get different. So I was showing a little bit too. It's pretty interesting to know what they want and what they don't want.
I bet they're really opinionated about what they don't want, aren't they?
Yes, but I like that. I like the, you know, little bit of wishy-washy thing. Like, just if they told me yes or no, like, okay. I usually during the lessons, I take a memo. Okay, so what do you think, guys? What do you think? It's like, okay, check, like this.
I think it's pretty awesome. Sorry, Ria, go.
I am one of those people who has a bunch of how to draw books. I have them right here next to me.
Oh.
In a fit of I want to start drawing and creating again. And then, of course, I had a child. And so I never had
time
to do that.
That's creation.
It's not the sort of creation I'm so hoping for. So I was really interested when this came through of what, you know, I sort of expected it to be like lots of those how to draw books, and I've got like a whole variety of ones. And what I liked, and I don't think I'm going to express this very well, it might put people off what I'm about to say, is what I liked is when I was looking at it, I was having to think about how I want to put the faces and the characters together. So there are ones where you can just copy the characters. Mm-hmm. I love that you've got the sheets where you can literally just like copy what you're doing, but where you've got like the separate eyes, where you've got different hands, different hair, it's as a creator, it's making me think how I want to piece this character together. So it's not only teaching me the basics of manga drawing, but it's teaching me how to, I'm just repeating myself again, create a character. Uh-huh. And I thought that was really unusual because so many of the books I have are, you draw this line and it creates exactly what's on the page. And that's great. I do love doing that. But this brought a bit more of a fun element in for me rather than just sitting down and copying what's exactly in front of me. And it reminded me of being in art school, funnily enough, because that is what you do. when they would sit down, they'd be like, go do a self-portrait. And you have a mirror, but you have these materials which, you know, you're not allowed to do. When I was in school, it'd be like, you're not allowed to use pencils. You have to, you know, you use collage materials and stuff like that. So it really reminds me of that feeling of having your own agency in what you're drawing. How did you, I'm getting to the question, how did you think about putting that together?
Well, because when I was started thinking, making a book, actually me and my agent, we are talking about how to create sort of how to draw a book / inspirational Misako's motivational, some sort of kind of book long time ago. Because, you know, a lot of graphic novel artists, they make graphic novels, but I wanted to just launch out because in the future, I want to create Misako Rocks Empire. It's crazy big dream, but I feel like I can do it. I'm going to have Misako Rocks in there, but I make graphic novels, but I want to create how to draw book, and I'm getting to merchandise. I want to get into animation, you know, like all sorts of idea. But for the how to draw book, I definitely want to add those, you know, you can do it, like all the motivational kind of a statement in there too. So that's why, like, even it's a how to draw, like do this, do that. I wanted readers to feel like they are taking my lessons same time. So when I was designing the each sections, like, maybe in this section, I'm going to just, you know, put like a Misako's face that will coming out like, hey, it's okay. Don't worry about little extra lines. You can just keep going. Just don't quit. Like all the little things. So they feel like they're in my class together. And also I definitely wanted to show that the moment that I'm teaching you. So that's why we add a QR code and readers can just scan it and jump to YouTube. So I'm drawing and talking together with them. So I wanted to just make this book. It's not just like you said, not how to draw, but more like a slightly motivational and inspirational, like you can do it, you know, that kind of a message in there.
And it works really well. And I love that. And I think too, with the alphas, you know, which I loved, we Gen Xers, we get nothing except we've set the tone for whatever all the other generations are called. It's like, we get nothing. And then they're like Gen Y and they're like, we should call them millennials, but then it's Z and now they're alphas. And it's like, you do understand like the alphabet, like Gen X is 13th generation, but it's fine. Anyway. So the alphas, the interactive piece, you know, like that idea that the QR code is there and that is going to make the whole concept even more appealing. And it's also like, and I do love the little Misakos that show up.
I mean, knowing you,
you're just there and the manga version of you is so fun. And that, and that is really good because then, you know, then when they cut to the video, there you are, like, you know what you look like. And so you're like, this is a good connective tissue there.
Right.
The one thing I wanted to bounce off what Rhea was saying too, because what I find really cool, and I wonder if you get students who do this or it's something, because again, you're like, this is it. You're not just saying there's only one way to draw this face. Because you show us eyes and you show us the mouth, that's where that complicated thing can come in with the older kids, like happy eyes but sad mouth, right? Or smile but sad eyes. And we see that, like, you, because that's how you can read a character. You're like, there's clearly this, but that's a fake smile and the eyes give it away. And that's what I'm looking at too, is that idea, that ability to say, you could hand this to somebody and almost make it an assignment. You could use this if someone else were teaching. A teacher could use this and say, okay, I want you to use Misako's thing and show me a kid who's, you know, trying his best today. And just what does that look like? And then so somebody would probably have one of your smiles, but then be like, oh, this kind of eye, or have this. So I just think that was a really cool way to do it. Like you said, not only just the 10 steps, but the idea that they can mix and match because people are complicated. And so was there ever, and I know you've talked about your agent before and how supportive she is, so I'm sure I know the answer to this is too, but was there ever any point where they're just like, no, just show them, create character A. This is how we're going to draw, not that, you know, I'm just going to say her because you've got a Sailor Moon adjacent character in here. Just draw Sailor Moon. Just draw Speed Racer. Just draw, you know, this person from Dragon Ball Z. Instead of doing that, you're like MJ thinks this is a character that exists in a book somewhere. So how was that idea that these were amorphous characters as opposed to specific characters? Did that just happen organically, or was that the intentional thing that the two of you discussed?
I think this is intentional. Also, like maybe because just who I am. Like if I was a Japanese manga artist in Japan, definitely make just how to draw a book, just, you know, a manuscript, and everything's gonna have to be like kind of control, like everything. Just this one has to go this way because that's how we do. But ever since I started teaching here in America, even through just the online schools, I learned that American kids, or maybe just the Western kids, let's say, they got so much ideas. They are like, I don't know, just so complicated the way they think, especially like slightly older kids. So that's why I decided that, I want to just show them more like, it's not just how to draw a book. I want them to think freely, just creative. So I wanted to show them method. But at the same time, when I ask students, you know, all right, so it's a free drawing thing. So just draw something, surprise me. If I give you that big theme, it's just a free, they're like stuff. Like, they can't think anything. So that's, I give you just a little theme, like, you know, like worksheet page is, I always just draw a face in there, but I like, you know, she's saying what she wants, what she likes. So kids can get the idea who she is, but then they can decide expressions too. So I wanted to sort of give a little bit of theme, but much freedom for them to think and create. Because I don't want to just trap them in just a, like, you know, do this, do that, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's how I grew up in Japan. You know, that's the way it is over there. So, I mean, that's why maybe I'm really disciplined. So I really like it. But at the same time, it's not that much freedom. So I think that's why. It's sort of off the topic, but kind of a topic I'm talking about.
That makes sense. Like, the style of these books, I think, really must match your teaching style, which is you expect your students to deliver, but you're also there for them. There is some nurturing there. There is some guidelines. There is, you know, I am teaching you, so I expect you to be participating.
Yeah.
But also, I am teaching you and I am here to help you, and there is no wrong. Like, I feel that as well, looking through it. I think when I first opened up and I was looking through it, I was like, and this probably sounds a bit mad, but again, as somebody who has a lot of how-to draw books, I feel like I can look at this and I'm not doing things wrong, or if my drawing's not very good, that's fine.
Yeah,
like, I feel it's just like really encouraging, because, you know, when you're making art, and especially when you're starting out, and this is what I've experienced like multiple times in my life, and I pick up a pen or a pencil and start doing it again, and you're not very good, you go, I don't want to do it anymore. Because I want to be good. Like,
right,
I at least want to like it. I don't want to be a big pile of shit. And these books feel really encouraging. And I think that's quite unique to a bunch of the, you know.
Thank you. That's the thing. Yeah, because even Tony said about, let's say, Sailor Moon. Like when we did a Sailor Moon, that's the theme. Funny thing is, like, I did it in Japan too. Like Japanese kids in Japan, they try to draw the way I draw. Same pose, everything, you know, kind of like this. She's doing kind of like this, same pose. But when I do here, they change expression they use my samples as just a sample, but they, even like a beginner still, they try to add their own style to it. So I learned a lot, like, wow, I feel like I have to think flexible and I got to give it like a little more, like, yeah, just a little space for them to think about how they can express their feeling and a style, because they don't like to be just told to draw exactly the way it is. So I think I learned a lot from my students, and I just used those everyday lesson, I guess, experience to create this book.
That is so fascinating. Cause I almost wonder too, like, in part of what makes manga fun is that because of the way that it's done is like, you read it from beginning to end, you're reading whatever, you know, and all the characters, I mean, while their expressions are going to change over the course of the whole run, they're going to look exactly the same unless they age up, right? It's like from beginning to end, it may be a 40, you know, a 40 book collection, but the way that, you know, this character looks at the beginning, the way that Sailor Moon looks at the beginning, and the way that Sailor Moon looks at the end of the original run, not the other ones, but the original run that they did, she looks the same. You know, like when she's her 14-year-old self, she looks like this. When she's Sailor Moon, she looks like this. Always, always the same. So you always know it's her and you know which person it is. But in America, the comic artist has a lot to say about what the character looks like.
Exactly.
Even if you go back to the beginning of like early comic books, early Superman, Siegel and Schuster, Superman looks the same all the time. But then once they got so big, they had to bring in other artists. They're like, oh, well, we know it's Superman because XYZ curl cape.
Right.
We know it's Batman. But like, I can look, I'm like a big enough nerd. And I know you are too, Rhea. We have favorite artists. You have your favorite person, like I can read it and go like, oh, I like that Batgirl best. I like this person's Batgirl best. I like this person's, you know, Batman best. I like this person's, you know, Harley Quinn best, whatever. Adriana Mello is my favorite Harley Quinn. There, I can say it. Like her, and I don't think anybody else should ever draw Poison Ivy ever again except Adriana Mello. Like she is this Brazilian artist and she's fucking amazing. And I just love her. But I can look at it and I recognize that's Poison Ivy, but I can also go, oh, that's Mello. Like, I know that's her. Do you know what I mean? And so that's what you're doing is you can look at this and go, it's a Misako, right? We know that it's you. Whereas like the Japanese manga is, it's like, it doesn't matter who it is because it has to be exact. It has to, you don't want to know that it's a different artist. So do you think that's, and that's freeing, I assume, then as a creator and then as a teacher, do you think that's part of it? Is that just that American comics
I think it's like, I think American comics has much more flexibility, because when I go to Japan, when I show to Japanese publishers my book, they don't think it's manga.
Oh.
They think more like Americanized manga. Maybe manga style. Like, it's, again, it's in Japan, they expect the way it is. So if your style, if you don't fit in there, you don't fit in there. It's a little bit tough, and it's the way, because they think the way it is, and it's fine with me. But if you want to do, you know, just a little something different, sort of, it's hard to fit in there. That's my drawing style. Everything is more accepted in Western countries. So that's like interesting too. Bounce Back, even books, they are more translated in French, but not in Japan. Even though I'm Japanese. And also, this book's too, not in Japan, but it's going to be translated in a Western country. So like, just, huh, that's kind of interesting. But I guess kids here are more open, and they like create their own style too. So they accept just really interesting art. And that's what I feel like, even when you watch cartoon, it's, everybody looks so different. I mean, every style, all the cartoons, you know, maybe some of them look like a manga style anime type of a cartoon, but other ones are super like a simple, just American classic cartoon looking like. And I think viewers really like that, because, you know, that's how they grow up. But in Japan, when we watch anime, have to be like Japanese style of anime. Otherwise, what are we watching? Like, they don't get it. So I learned that one too. But I guess definitely just teaching from online, just online and in person, I learned a lot about culture difference. And that culture difference really helped me to create this book too. And a lot of kids, they're always, you know, again, it's like Emma, perfectionist. they're like so perfectionist. So constantly I'm just encouraging, it's okay to make a mistake, and let's have a drawing game. Just don't think too much and just draw. I constantly do that kind of stuff too. I think that hopefully readers can get the idea, like my message from this book.
I wonder if what feeds into this well is both your books and in these sort of how-to books is your diversity of characters.
Yeah.
And I wonder if because you're so open to opening up manga to, as you said, like the Western culture, that it allows you to bring in that diversity, and that makes it so much more accessible for people.
I think so too. Also, I pretty much lived in New York for my entire adult life.
Yeah.
So I was just so used to be just surrounded by every different type of people. So it was kind of a natural for me, like, oh, this kid is, you know, like Asian, this kid is more like white girl, and you know, other ones or like stuff like that. But I bet in Japan they're gonna think like, just, oh, whoa, different.
Yeah.
They know Japanese at all. So they might think, just like it's kind of hard for them to adjust themselves, because to them every character is a Japanese. I think it's hard for them to understand reading about American comic. I don't think American comic itself is that popular or well known in Japan. I mean, Hollywood movies, you know, like a DC movie, or that's of course popular because, you know, the famous, right? But comic itself, not so much, because I never ever read it. I mean, DC comics or anything until I moved here. I didn't know anything about it. I thought it was a movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I really didn't know that it was a comic.
And I think it goes the other way here, where a lot of people discover like Dragon Ball Z and Sailor Moon,
yeah,
Speed Racer. Absolutely. Like I discovered Speed Racer as the show, as the anime. That's how, as a little kid, that's how I fell in love with Speed Racer. And then later I went and read the Makbako. But at first it was like, I didn't.
Anime? You said an anime.
It's a little cartoon.
A
deck of playing cards that are Speed Racer shaped here. I love Speed Racer. Like I loved, loved the show. And I didn't know, you know, as a little kid, it was just on. And I was like, what is that ADHD thing that's on in the world that exists for my brain? And then when I could read the manga, it's not as fun because I saw the anime first. I mean, I like the Makmako fine. But I do think it's the same way here, as I think people discover. They discover Dragon Ball Z or they discover Sailor Moon through the shows. And then they're like, oh, then they find out it's a manga too. And they're like, oh, I didn't know that was a thing. So I think it works the other way. There's something about that medium, which is again, Rhea, producer extraordinaire. That's why we need to get the Misako Rocks anime happening.
I mean, I'm so here for it. How do we do it? We need to do a Kickstarter or something, don't we?
Yes, please. Because, I mean, next year is going to be Bounce Back 3 is going to be out. I thought it was going to be this year. Actually, next year, 2025, Bounce Back 3 was going to come out too. So, you know, they keep going so far. So I love to make it happen.
Let's make it happen. I know. Yeah. I think it would. But I do think it would reach. I do think it would reach new heights. I think that is really fascinating. And I like what Rhea said about the culture. And I think just watching the kids sitting there kind of like, being a fly on the wall while you're doing one of your classes, which I got to do, you know, in real life, and watch the kids like so you would have the thing up there and then you're like, let's do this. And then I'd walk around and look, and none of them that you like, you tell they could do sort of what you were doing. By the time we were done, you had 30 completely different things based on your one idea. Now, what is the way you're going to, other than the QR codes are amazing. So what is your hope with these books for interaction? Like, obviously you already have your beta audience with MJ Kerrigan sending you. So we already know it works. But like, how are you, other than just Rhea knowing you and getting to send you her daughter's artwork, what's your hope for the interaction with people outside of, you know, the students who are, because obviously in your class, you're seeing what they're doing. So what's the way for them? I mean, obviously your website and stuff, but like, how are you hoping they'll interact with you?
Actually, right now, our publisher, Quoto, we're having a book campaign, because if you pre-order the copy of this or fashion or both, you can just enter the book campaign and you draw manga image of Misako. And if you have a chance to win my original drawing, yeah, so I can get to see my reader's drawing. And then
of
I can
you.
Just, I'm planning to even send a letter too together.
Aww.
Yeah,
That's
so if
amazing.
the kids go to my website, and also like you can just enter the form too. And of course, everybody who entered the form receive my signed book plate too. So that's what we're trying to make it more interactive. So I'm in there, even though I'm far away. I'm gonna appreciate for anybody who submitted the drawing, and I wanna give a little bit of feedback too. So I like to kind of keep doing it and just, you know, make a really good roots. And I know that like doing a little by little, everything is going to just come back pretty big. So hopefully that's going to help too.
That's amazing. I love that you said the kids, and I immediately looked at my Misako inspired pens that I bought the other week. And I was like, the kids are going to send them in, or a 41 year old woman who lives in the countryside.
Yeah.
Who may or may not be a witch. People are still discussing. Neighbors still wonder if that
digitally elbowing children out of the way. I want this prize.
Some of our students, they want me to pick them, so they are sending me their drawing directly. Me, like, I'm just like, make sure this is my drawing. Okay, this is my drawing. Like, okay. It's so cute though. They're like 7 years old, you know, 8. And the parents, you know, encourage them too. So I just really appreciate it. Just like, oh my gosh, how passionate they are.
Well, that's the most important thing, right? I mean, when you hear what Rhea said about MJ getting into the books, getting upset and genuinely connecting to them, and like seeing her artwork and knowing I got to watch them, passion is it, right, Rhea? I mean, this is how it starts. Like, you and I love art. You and I believe art saves. We know this artist friend, Misako Rocks, is our friend now. And it's like, this is it, right? These books, this is important. And, you know, listen, it's only £10. It's only $12,
right.
$17.99 to our friends in the North. That's really, because Canadian dollars, obviously, as you can hear, what's worth the most, the pound. But that's really good. I mean, seriously, people, for that price, that is like, this never will get old. Because of the way you designed it, right? I mean, this is
right.
Like a passion starter. This is
yes.
Like the ultimate gift.
Yeah, and the quality is great. And also my publishers are so nice to me. They listen to everything, what I want to do. Even I ask them to pick the specific paper. Because did you notice, like, a lot of manga, like, I mean, a lot of books, they have a really, like, a shiny, shiny paper. And then my students told me they can't draw on there if it's shiny.
Mm.
They like a more this
you're,
kind
you're gonna
of
you're going to encourage them to maybe sketch on here a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And also they can print out too, because that's why the QR code's there too. So if they don't want to make it dirty, they can print out. But if they want to directly draw, they can draw too. So I asked them, like, can we just use really nice, thick drawing almost papers? So I think they're amazing the way they listen to me. I like those pastel, welcome, really cute colors. So they pick those too. It's just, I don't have any complaint. I'm insanely impressed.
I love that. And it's that passion again, like just talking to you and hearing you talk about how like you care about the paper. You've listened to your students. And it's like that collaboration between you and your audience, and you want to make this available to everyone.
Yes.
You know, there's so many artists that like, oh, I must keep this to myself. This is my precious art. And you're so giving and you're so passionate. It's just like, it's just so exciting.
Yeah.
And I'm probably repeating myself, but I feel that in this, like from the moment I opened it up, it was, you know, it felt exciting and fresh and different. And again, as somebody who has a lot of these types of books, you know, this is the one I want to pick up when I eventually have, you know, like 30 minutes to myself. And that's another thing, actually, I meant to say, that the way you've set this out, I think, is really clever. I feel I could use this as, like, you know, one of like your 10-minute drawing challenges that, you know, you set yourself during the day, whether it's just practice some different eyes, some different hairstyles, not the hands. That will take me about 5 hours because hands are impossible to draw. I'm sure even with your wonderful instructions, the hands will take me forever. And I love that because it, the way, and like literally the way you've set it out on the pages, you could pick it up, flip to a page and be like, this is my 10 minute session to quickly draw something out to keep myself going for the day. And I just love that. How were there challenges for you in setting it out in that sort of way? Or did, were you just like, nah, that's how it's going to be?
Yes, in a way, like a drawing, I mean, creating this, each just the sections, it was way challenge more than drawing, I mean, creating a graphic novel. Because I have to think about, like, again, like, I have only 2 pages to show just the one action. And I was just imagine, okay, if I was 9 years old, what part of it do I have to spend time most? And what part of it I want to just, you know, just go through? Because what I notice is I ask a lot of students, do you read even descriptions there? And most of them say no. They say they don't read. They just watch it, illustration and follow. So like, so that's what I realized. I want everything to be super short, almost nothing. And I just want to explain with my drawing. So it was a little bit tough to just think, okay, so this, I want to show the girl holding a cat, but it's almost like a 2 characters in there. So how am I going to draw 2 characters in 2 pages for 9 years old? That's a little bit tough. So those kind of things, just thinking about the balance and just the steps, a bit tough. It took a while for me to adjust myself.
Right, because when you're drawing just for you, the only person that you're thinking about is you or the person who does your flats. Yeah. Everything else is just like, you don't have to worry. Like, it's so muscle memory for you. So you're like breaking that. It's like, you know, Rhea's got her ukulele collection behind. I've got mine. It's like when you pick it up and play, like it's one thing to just pick up and play and you're like, I know how to do it now. But if you then had to explain it, like I'm sure if MJ's like, teach me this chord, when she says to Kev, teach me this chord, he's like, well, how do I even do it upside down and backwards? Because you're a child, always, you know, I'm looking down at you. So it is, it is that. So, but I bet you that makes, did you find going through that process, did it make you, did you notice that for Bounce Back 3, maybe did anything change a little bit because you did this in between 2 and 3?
Yes.
So did it change what, that like the tightness or the looseness of your next book?
I think so. Like a Bounce Back, they definitely felt it. Because what I noticed is like, when I made a Bounce Back, like some panels, I spent too much time on just the face, and then not that much of a space for words. And the angle, the way I showed was a little too complicated. Because now I know what kind of angle they want to draw, they want to look at it. So I think it would really help me to actually create Bounce Back 4. Right now I'm making a Bounce Back 4, by the way. So that's going to help sort of shaping it. And I tend to, I guess, right, I don't like it. I tend to just add too many conversational just bubbles. I want to just show the story with more drawing. I kind of learned it thanks to this. So Bounce Back 4, I think if people will really realize, I mean, hopefully blown away by the fact I'm going to show much more, just a story with art a lot. I can't tell you the theme, but it's kind of a biggest theme I picked. And I'm blaming myself already. Like, every time I go, why the basketball too? Like, why did I pick a basketball? Like, it's just too many characters in there, too many poles. In the end, I loved it. And it's just, why did I pick? But basketball is going to be like, just, whew, it's a bit like, But super cool.
That's really funny because I did notice that, obviously, because I read Bounce Back 2 first. Mm-hmm. And then reading the first one, I did have the same thought, like, why basketball? Because there's so many movements, there's so many people on a team. I was like, bonkers. Why have you done this to yourself?
Why the hell did But the thing is, my husband, Christopher, he played basketball entire life, and he was the captain. I mean, he was a star player, and his first girlfriend was a cheerleader. You know, like those 90s or 80s, such a like American movie. And he told me about like when they lose, even though you lose, you celebrate with the team together. It's about discipline, everything, stuff like that. And I got so jealous of his experience because I never joined the team. All I did was I was studying because I wanted to move to America. So I didn't do anything like that. So I decided to like, oh, I'm gonna draw basketball. Because why not? It's going to be super cool. It's a group mentality, and they're going to learn how to lose, how to win together. When I started creating, like, this is crazy. But in the end, it's good. It's all good.
Well, everything it makes you better, right? I mean, you didn't expect that challenge, but I agree. And the one book that Rhea and I did about a cheer squad, it was the same thing, right? Cheer Up. That's a great book. I don't know if you've read that, Masako. I love that book.
I'm gonna read
but
it.
It's fantastic. But like the cheer squad, what is there? There's like a whole character page too, as the main character's trying to like explain the team. So because it was good, because there was like 12 girls on the cheer squad, and you're like, oh man, what are we doing? And then you know, so then the artist, she has to draw like all the jumps and all the movement. But it really made for a more lived-in book. And I think the basketball, though, and I think in this too, you're giving us a lot of.
Yes,
motion. Like it's not just. I mean, yeah, there's some just standing, but like even just like this simple thing here about the this girl with her leg up, right?
Oh, yeah.
Just even that. Like there's so much motion in that. Like you see her, you know this kid. Anybody who's ever been around a teenager, a 12, 13-year-old, they're always on the verge of almost falling down. And you capture that energy, right? I mean, we're just clumsy hormonal messes at that age. And even like, and again, sitting people, you're like, oh, sitting. But no, look at the girl reading. Look at the action. You see it in the way that you do it.
Yeah.
There's you're never just sitting still. Like, and especially people like us, the three of us who are fidgeters. But like, you're never just sitting still. And you capture that frenetic energy of what it means to just be a human. So I think the basketball really helped too, I think. And I'm sure it was hard to slow it down for this, but no, I mean,
It helped definitely.
And honestly, even just like Rhea, even the covers are ridiculously amazing, right? I mean, like she's giving us a poster just on the cover.
I know.
Oh, thank you. Yay.
Honestly, you're talking about your empire. I mean, I've got empire plans for you. Posters, you know, I think you should do a children's book.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I think you should do some animation. Like, you need it. You need the Masako Rocks empire.
Yeah.
We want to be early investors. We want to get it on the ground floor.
Absolutely. Like, I want, like, guitars and drum kits themes.
Like,
you know?
I mean, you want to say, like, elbow Hello Kitty right out of the way. And you're like, hello, kitty, elbow.
I'm coming in.
And you've got cats.
Yeah, you already have. Right.
Because why is there not a plushie? Why are there not plushies with the cats? Come on.
Look at that winky cat.
I like that. I'm like getting really annoyed at you. Come on, Masako. Make me some plushies.
Yeah,
look at that.
Yeah, plushie, and also a hoodie too. Hoodie, you know, kids like wearing oversized hoodie, stickers. That's all. Like, if this
I mean, I'm ready for Masako Rock shoelaces,
please.
whatever you need. I mean it sincerely. Like,
and
it is all very true. And as we're coming to the end of our time, unfortunately, mm-hmm. because time is stupid and work is real lame.
Sure.
Okay, so this year we've got these two books. This is April, and we've got one in June, and then Bounce Back 3 next year, and then Bounce Back
next
4.
Year.
And so the Empire. Go ahead, Rhea. Sorry.
Sorry, I'm so sorry to interrupt
say.
You. I've just had the best idea.
Let's hear it.
So I'm a gamer, and I play like Animal Crossing, Stardew Valley, Disney Dreamlight Valley. Oh my god, we need Masako Rocks World. You need to do a computer game. You absolutely need to do that.
Computer game, yes!
Like a world building where you build your little village. You build.
Because you could use this as the basis for that, where you could even then create the character, and then as the character does thing, that's where the points come in, and that's the experience point. So you literally start, like, you plug the game in, and it's just a blank screen. It's just like white, and then you build the character, and then as you build the character. So it's like Sims, but, you know, even more even more. So it's artsy. And then when you need something, as you've built the character points up from building the characters, you've got Masako bucks, and then you can use that to then you're like buy a new room. You can add a room that you then have to draw, and then once you're done creating the room, that's so. I mean, clearly Rhea is your business manager.
Yes,
this
please.
Needs to happen. Add this to your empire.
Yeah.
Please, yes.
Okay, so
sorry to interrupt that. I was really trying to be like, all your amazing stuff's coming out. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I've got an idea for a computer game.
Love it.
I mean, it's true though, and it's and we're not it's I mean, you are amazing, Masako, and you are our friend, but this is like your art is inspirational. I saw what you could do. Now, you know, unfortunately, you know, you had it the mornings you were in rooms full of like 600-700 kids who weren't all prepared for you to be there. But what, so there was always
there was a little bit of story there, but yes.
Yeah, yeah. Not everybody was prepared. One kid was like, what's happening? And we're like, how did you not know about this? There's literally signs everywhere in the building. Like, there's television screens that are like showing Masako for like days and weeks. Kids like, what's up? We're like, how did you miss this? Do you not know what grade you're in? How did you not know this affected you? There was a few of those. But even in that moment, even in those things, so like she's up there, Rhea, and she's doing a thing to the whole, she's got 600 kids, and she's telling her story, and she's got her stuff. And then what she would do is like halfway through, she'd start drawing, and the room stopped. Like all the murmuring, all the little conversations, and she's up there and she draws. And like, by the time she's done doing her 3-4 minute drawing, pin drop. And then when she finished, like standing ovation, like a rupture. And it's like, so you have the audience, Masako, they're there. What you're doing is that good. I mean, you've got 700 hormonal teenagers to shut up and watch you work.
Yeah.
So that is a mad skill. So I am with Rhea. I love the idea of an interactive game. We're here to promote you whenever you need. So we've got 2 books right now, and then next year you'll come back whatever.
Yes.
We want the Masako. I mean, obviously Rhea is going to be your creative, your business plan maker.
So that's an ideas person, all right? Yeah. Just ideas. Yeah.
So, well, we'll say our stuff, Rhea, and then we'll let Masako say all the things, and all the shows will be in the show notes. So I'm arfarina.com. You can come check out what podcast I'm doing, check out my book, Welcome to Mansfield, the audiobook. Welcome to Mansfield is out, read and performed by Femon member Ada McCartney. It's glorious. The audiobook is out there. It's in libraries. You could request it there. So that's me. Rhea, where could people find you on the internet?
Yeah, come and see me at the Femon Collective website, femon.show. I can never remember our Instagram handle, but if you just find me, Rhea Carrigan.
You can't even remember your own name right now.
And then go and check out my Instagram. You'll find all our stuff there and subscribe. Our podcast is amazing. We cover so many different things to do with pop culture and just life and being feminists. And speaking of Instagram, go and watch Masako's videos on Instagram because they're amazing. I try not to be a weird stalker and like them all because I'm
Please be my stalker.
But they are great because if you're like me and sometimes you're like a bit overwhelmed by all the stuff that happens on social media, Masako's videos are amazing and you learn something each time, and they're one of my favorite bits of content on Instagram,
which sets Masako up just perfectly. So other than your Instagram, where can people find you on the internet, Masako?
You can always visit my website misakorocks.com, and actually, like I said, we are having a book campaign for this upcoming my How to Draw Kawaii manga book series. So you can enter my drawing contest form over there, and you might have a chance to win my drawing, original drawing. So please check out my website and also my social media, like Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. I just started it. Just throw out there.
That's where the kids are anyway. So that's where you need to be. Yeah. Literally, and I don't mean that like grumpy old man that I am. That's where the kids are. I mean, literally, that's where the kids are.
But they are.
Yeah.
It's an awesome space for them, and I'm happy for that. Like,
I don't need me.
They don't need 41-year-old me coming into their space. Right. I want them to enjoy that space for them and go and have an awesome time there.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. It's like the time that my mother said, Char said, I don't think I understand, because one of my all-time favorite bands are the Ramones. She's like, I don't think I understand the Ramones. And I said, yeah, they're not for you.
Yeah.
That's why they're not. That's so I don't understand TikTok because it's not for me. I don't need it. I'm glad you're there, though, Misako, because yeah. That's where your people are.
Yes, I started it. So still, I'm learning.
Yeah.
It's a little bit so fast. I'm just like, oh, what, how am I going to use it? But I'm there.
You're there. Well, all those links will be in the show notes of our show. So this has been Indie Comic Spotlight and Femmon Creatives. And that has been Misako Rocks. And there's a song by a friend of mine who I've actually written a song. It's on a couple of his albums. Actually, that album right there has a song I wrote on it. But on his very first or second album, he actually had a song called I Want to Have a Stalker. So 100% on Indie Comic Spotlight, I'm playing that song on the way out by Wally Pleasant. I Want to Have a Stalker. Because you heard Misako say, please stalk me. So I wrote it down. Wally Pleasant, I Want to Have a Stalker. So that's what that is.
I like that.
100%. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. And we'll
see you
soon.
Thank you so much. This is amazing again.
Thank you.
Bye. I'm going to go and shout at the printer.
I want to have a stalker someday. Someone to follow me all around and never go away. And even though I know I wouldn't have any privacy, we could sit around all day and talk about me. Like Joey Bada, Foucault had Amy Fisher, and Yoda had Luke Skywalker. I want to have a stalker. I want to have a stalker. Maybe she's delusional or obsessed, or has a psychological disease. But everyone's entitled to idiosyncrasies. Or maybe she's peeking in my window, or in my backyard behind a tree. And if I saw her, I'd say, hey, come on in and let's watch TV. Well, Apollo chased a wood nymph in mythology, and John Hinckley was a real sweet talker. I want to have a stalker. I want to have a stalker. Right now I'm kinda sad and kinda lonely, and I know that she would think about me only. If I got crank phone calls, I'd just try to call her back. I'd hire a private investigator to find out where she's at. I wanna have a stalker. I wanna have a stalker. Stalk me.